Okay, William. Hey, so welcome back. Hey, I think this is time for chapter three of Stranded on Earth, the story of Iggy Pop and Dr. Clem Goodlight and all the rest of them. How are we going to get Iggy Pop back to Janakapalala? Well, this is the next step in the story. And William, thank you so much for giving me an idea about how to keep this going. And while we were swimming and you were collecting all sorts of artifacts from the bottom of the pond, I had a great idea. This is it. So I finished. I told you that Igglypop had crashed, and Clem Goodlight had helped him out, and he'd called his good friend Buddy Lotobus, who came with a huge truck and pulled in that space cruiser that was just not working right, and he drove off to skedaddle to drop it off at Washington-Gumption University. Well, and then Clem Goodlight, Dr. Goodlight, shoved Igglypop into his truck, and he put his Stetson hat on him and said, "Just sit there and don't make any attention." And he got in his truck and he drove off. Well, I haven't really told you much about Clem Goodlight or Igglypop or Iglioptera nuberoperathon because I was so excited to tell you about the space crash. But you gotta understand. Now, Clem Goodlight, he's an astrophysicist. I mean, he is the top of the astrophysicist bunch. He knows everything. He knows about interstellar mediums. He knows about cosmic microwave backgrounds. He measures electromagnetic spectrums, luminosity, statical mechanics, thermodynamics. He's an expert in quantum mechanics. He gives lectures you all the time on relativity, nuclear and practical physics. And he is an expert on extrasolar planets and intergalactic observation. Well, is he in for a lesson when he finally talks to Igglypop? But you'd think, being such a smart, bright, top-of-the-world guy, he'd be kind of like, but he isn't. He is down home. He wears flannel shirts. He wears old hats. He wears comfortable shoes. He drives an old truck, kind of beat up, but he loves it. It's his old Dodge truck. He loves it. He drives it everywhere. It's kind of red. It was red to start, but it's a little faded. And he decided he would take Igglypop and put him in the front seat. Well, I haven't really told you much about Igglypop either. Igglypop is Janaka. He's not human, and he lives on Janakapalala. And Janakapalala is a planet way, way out in the solar system, the other end of the galaxy, that Dr. Clem Goodlight has never even spotted because he can't see to the other end of the galaxy. But it circles its own sun, Babalababa, and it's a happy little planet. But there's only one thing that is going to make a difference here. There are no, well, Janakapalala is one city. There are no forests. There are no little streams to go fishing in. There is no open fields except for little gardens that people have here and there. And sometimes there's a park that's about the size of a playground. But everywhere else is buildings. And that's how the Janakapalalans live. They're happy that way. They're happy people. And they circle their sun, Babalababa, and they are happy. And they know space. And Janakapalala, by the way, belongs to the intergalactic Minwin Cholab confabulation. And the Minwin Cholab, well, the Minwin Cholab is about, oh, it's about 100 or so star systems. They come and go, come and go, come and go. And it's made up of all sorts of different, well, we'd call them aliens. They just call them people. Not all of them are like Janakapalalans, but some are, some aren't. But we'll have to talk about that later, because I'd have to talk about that later. Now, Igglypop. Iglioptera nuberoperathon, I should say, but Igglypop's dad, his father, is really the chief ruling officer of Janakapalala. Big chief ruling officer. Now, me, I call him a king or an emperor or something like that, but he's more like, oh, the chief executive officer of a big company. But it's not a big company because it's a planet. So they call him the chief ruling officer. It doesn't mean he gets to tell people what to do, it just means he has the headache of making sure everything works right. But his son is the crown prince. Of course, we might not think of him as a prince, but it's a crown prince. And because his dad is pretty rich, he got a space cruiser for his 87th birthday. Now, you say, 87th birthday? He's pretty old. No. He's a Janakapalalan. 87 is not old. 87 is about 18, 17, 16, 15, maybe 21, something like that. We don't, something like that. Don't worry about it. But he took off. And is lost. And I can tell you who pushed the most buttons when he didn't come back. That was his mother, Jalawundathon Uberoperon. We'll have to talk about her later too. But Igglypop's a very affable guy for a Janaka Palalan. Very, very affable. He's 7 feet, maybe 7 feet if you discount the little tentacles on the top of his head, which all come out another couple feet. So actually, if he stands up straight, his tentacles stand up straight, he's about 9 feet, if you really want to talk about it. And he's kind of big. His hands are big, his feet are big, and his sort of everything about him is big. And his nose mouth is like it's a short little, like an elephant's trunk, and it's beautiful for Janaka Palalan. So when Clem Goodlight shoved him in his truck, you can imagine it was quite a tight fit, because, well, it was a tight fit. If he'd had a moonroof, he could have stuck his head up out of the moonroof. But so he lowered the seat as far as it would go and put it back. Then he took an old Stetson he had. He had an old Stetson cowboy hat in the back. And he took all of Igglypop's wriggling little tentacle hairs and he pushed them up inside the hat and put it on his head. He said, there. Well, that wasn't very comfortable for Igglypop after all. But Clem Goodlight said, look, we can't have anybody know you're an alien. We got to get out of here. So they did. And they left about mid-morning, right after Buddy Lauterbus drove off with his truck, and they took off out of the park, and Clem Goodlight paid his park fee and said, thanks for the trip, I'm going to come back fishing again, and he took off down the road. Well, distance from the park, which is in northwest Wyoming, all the way to Skedaddle is about 1,000 miles, and it's a good long trip. It's going to take him half a day, 12 hours, 14 hours, depends on the drive time. So it's a good long trip, and they're going to have to make it in one rush. So they take off. Well, trouble started right away. Oh, no, because the park ranger, he thought to himself, that was a mighty funny looking RV. I've never seen an RV like that. Why, I couldn't even see the wheels. So he drove out to the park, to the campsite, where Clem Goodlight had been sitting. He set up his tent. It was right next to the stream. It was the best campsite for trout fishing anybody ever found. And that's why Clem Goodlight came back there ever over and over again. He looked around and it was all clean because Dr. Goodlight liked to clean up. He didn't make a mess. But there on the side of the tent were these very, very strange scorch marks. It says something hot and heavy had come down. That didn't look like no RV to him. I ain't never seen an RV like that. I've seen plenty of truck crashes, but I've never seen an RV like that, he thought. And then he looked around, and it was as though some big, huge, heavy object had really hit and stuck and sunk, because the ground was like kind of depressed, and it looked like there were two long rails that had just sucked in. And then where the truck had dragged it out, you could see this long drag mark out, and it was gone. He said, this is very funny. I think this is very funny. I think I'm going to have to tell my boss. So he got back in his truck and he went back to the park office. And he sat down at the park office and he called up his boss. He said, boss, I got to tell you something. There's something funny going on because, I don't know, we had this really strange RV show up here. I ain't never seen an RV like that. And it was just stranger than strange. And this guy, I've seen him a lot, Dr. Goodlight, he comes all the time, but he was kind of funny, acting very funny. And so I think we ought to look into this. Well, it was really strange because just after he called the park ranger, the head of the parks got a call from the United People. And they said, hey, we saw a tracking on our satellite images of something that came streaking in, and it looks like it crashed at your park. Have you seen anything? And the head of the park said, no, we haven't seen anything. I did get a strange call, but we haven't seen anything. And the head of the United People said, well, we're going to have to look into this. We'll be back. And he hung up. Well, I have to say, Dr. Goodlight and Igglypop are in trouble. But they don't know it. They don't know it because they're driving down the road. So let's talk about them. So they're driving down the road. Now, in order to get back to Skedaddle, old Clem Goodlight has to go over the mountains, into the valleys, by the streams, across rivers, and then he finally gets to the big highway. And then he can take the big highway and it goes straight for hour after hour straight, and then stirs and straight and curves. It goes over mountains, it goes over plains, it goes over more mountains, and it finally comes down into Skedaddle. And that's how you get there. And Clem Goodlight has done that so many times. He knows the way. He could drive it and sleep at the same time. He has on occasion, but we can't talk about that. But when they went driving out of the park, they weren't on the road for an hour. And old Clem Goodlight was talking about all the park. He was looking at the trees. He was talking about the mountains. He was saying, here's the best fishing spot if you're not at a campground. Look, we got to climb that mountain one of these days. You'll like it. You could see forever. And Igglypop was turned on his communicabulator, and it was just listening to Clem Goodlight, listening and listening. And all of a sudden, they stopped, because crossing the road was this huge herd of big... Igglypop didn't know what they were. What were they? Big animals with these huge somethings on them. It looked like branches of trees or whatever. And Clem Goodlight said, oh, those are elk. Oh, what a beautiful herd of elk. Igglypop had never seen anything like that. Elk? What? Animal? What? Are they human? And he tried to ask that out of his communicabulator. He said something like, woo, and his communicabulator said, alien people? His communicabulator was working at it. You see, alien people? And Clem Goodlight said, no, they're not aliens. They're elk. Elk? Elk. And Igglypop reached into his tool pouch that he always kept carried, and he picked out his advanced zoom pixelator, and he started taking still digital pictures. He dialed it down to the right wavelengths. He did everything right, and he took some still pictures. And then he decided, well, maybe I should do some infrared to get their heat signatures. So he took it to the infrared and took some heat signatures. And they said, oh, wait, maybe I ought to go to X-ray and I can see what they look like inside. So he turned it to the X-ray setting, and all he got was the bones and stuff, but he saw the inside of the elk, and they went marching across the road. They disappeared. Igglypop sat back and looked at Clem Goodlight, and Clem said, oh, that's elk. They're crossing the street whenever they want. You just can't run into them because they'll crash your car. And he took off in the truck. Boom. Well, from then on, they kept spotting other animals. They spotted some bears up on the side of a mountain. Oh, and he stopped so that Igglypop could get out his pixelator and put it on long extra bandwidth so he could take a picture of them. And then they saw wolves. Oh, this was the best part. They saw wolves running down a valley, running along. Igglypop just couldn't understand. You look alien? Alien people? And Clem said, no, those are wolves. They're not aliens, they're wolves. So Igglypop took a picture of them. Oh, man, he was in heaven. He had never seen anything like this. And then there were trees. He didn't know what trees were. Trees didn't exist in Janakapalala. And then rivers, huge. Look, there's agua everywhere. So they drove on a ways. And finally they came up and over hill and down into the town. And there was the town. And Clem said, hey, good buddy, I think it's time for me to stop. We got to fill her up with gas. I think I got to get some eats. We have something to snack on something while we drive, because we're coming up to the big road, buddy, and we're going to move along. So he pulled into a gas station. And Clem looked over. And he looked at Igglypop, and he said, And he tried to push him down on the seat as low as he could. He said, hey, good buddy, just stay here. You put your head down. You got to go pee-pee? Got to go to the bathroom? Got to do anything? Well, Igglypop had no idea what he meant saying, you got to go pee-pee. But he was okay right at the moment because, well, Janak and Palalans, they have different ways of doing things. He said, me okay. His communicabulator was starting to work much better. Me okay. He sat there. But he was watching. He was watching all the people pumping gasoline. So Clem Goodlight jumped out of his truck, and he went over and he pulled out the pump, and he filled the car with gas, whistling away, little tune. He was happy. He had been fishing. He had a cooler chest full of fish on ice. Woohoo! He was taking them home. His wife would love it. His kids would love it. His dog would love it. Oh, life was right, and he had an alien in his front seat. Woohoo! This is great. Then he went into the store, because he was going to buy some things to eat. He had to have snacks, you know. He can't travel a long distance without snacks. Meanwhile, Igglypop was looking at everybody, and he saw some strange people, strange alien types. And he thought, ooh, maybe I'll take a picture. So he got out his pixelator, and he set it to the right wavelength, and he picked it up, and he started taking pictures of people pumping gas. Well, there was one old dude. he was pumping gas. He had a long mustache. Well, Igglypuff didn't know what a mustache was because Janaka Palalans don't have hair that way. They have tentacles. You know that. But he had a long mustache. He had some tattoos. And he looked over at Igglypuff taking his picture, and he was not happy about that. He put up his gas hose, and he walked over to the truck. Said, Hey, man, who are you taking a picture of? And Igglypuff looked at him, and the communicabulator said, Oh, what? Hey, man, I'm talking to you. Come on, what are you taking pictures of me for? Igglypuff went, which meant, get out of here, quick, get away, go away. Because he wasn't, well, this guy was kind of not happy with him. He shoved his face into the truck. He said, I'm talking to you, man. What's this? You look awful funny to me. What are you, an alien? Well, he meant illegal immigrant or something like that, because he really didn't know anything about aliens. I mean, but Igglypuff looked at him and went, ooh. Well, just at that point, Clem Goodlight walked out. And he saw the guy giving us a tough time to Igglypuff. And he said, uh-oh, trouble. We got to go take care of this. So he walked over to the truck. He opened the back door to the back seat and put in his, because he had a double-seated truck, and he put in his all the groceries he bought, and he walked around and he said, Hey, fella, well, how can I help you? And the man with the mustache looked at him and said, Hey, who are you? He said, Well, I'm Clem. I'm Clem, and I own this here truck, and who are you talking to? You talking to my good buddy, my friend? The man looked at him and said, I'm talking to anybody I want. And Clem said, Well, it's okay, but talk to me now. What do you want? He was taking pictures of me. Well, he's a tourist. He's never been to America. He's probably just taking pictures of everything. You know, he didn't know. Well, I want those pictures back. Oh, come on, man. It's okay. We'll be fine. Look, I tell you what. I tell you what. Here, I got... He reached into one of the bags he was still holding, and he pulled out a package of beef jerky. And beef jerky is little meat sticks that you chew on as you go. He said, Hey, look, I got a couple of these packages. Why don't you take one, and you can have one, and you chew on it as you go. The man in the mustache said, Beef jerky for me? I want that camera. I want it now. Well, Clem was not happy about the situation. But Clem was not one to back down. He looked like he was kind of a gentle, affable, guffaw fellow, but he was really... He was really a black belt in karate and a bunch of other martial arts. And he thought, I guess we have to take action here. So he said, wait a second. He put the other bag back in the back seat, closed the door, stepped up to the man. And he said, Sir, I think you should back off right now. If you don't back off right now, I will have to rearrange things on your body so they do thing they work the opposite way. The man looked at him and said, What you talking about? I'm gonna give you one with my fist. And old Clem said, I don't think so. And the man reached back and he pulled his fist and he went to hit Clem right in the face. And you know what Clem Goodlight did? Do you think he hit him? Do you think he kicked him? Do you think he threw him to the ground? Do you think he crushed him under his heel? He could have, but he didn't. He just caught that fist in midair and he held on to it. And then he squeezed. And the man said, let go of my fist, let go of my fist. And Clem said, Now, that was not a very nice thing to do, and you are irritating my friend here on the seat. I would suggest that you go away, and I don't think you're going to deserve any beef jerky. And he squeezed a little harder, and he was squeezing so hard, the man was like, ow, this hurts. Ow, oh, yee, oh, oh. And then he realized he didn't want to try that again because it might not go so well. And so he said, okay, all right, I'm sorry, all right, I'm sorry. Clem let him go. He said, good, we don't want any fight, we don't need that. We're all good buddies here. Why don't you go? And he watched Mr. Mustache walk away, get in his truck, and slam with the door and drive off. And then Clem looked at Igglypuff. He said, Igglypuff, my good buddy, don't be taking pictures of people. Igglypuff said, Alien people? He said, Right, wrong alien people. You take pictures of other alien people like elk and wolf. Okay. So they took off. Well, they hit the big road. The big road is big. Big road. No more going up and down mountains. No more crossing little streams. No more stopping for elk. This was a big road, and there were a lot of trucks and a lot of cars, and everything was buzzing along. And Igglypuff's eyes were like, oh, oh, oh. Because you might have guessed it, in Janaka Palala, People didn't have cars and trucks. They didn't go drive cars and trucks. If they wanted to go someplace between planets, they were sensible. They took a space cruiser. If they wanted to go someplace else on the planet, they got down into their commuter tube, and their transport vehicles would stop, would pick them up, and shoot them anywhere they wanted to go. And because Janaka Palala was a civilized planet, it didn't take too long to get from one side of the planet to the other because the commuter tubes were pretty fast. But that's not Earth. So at any rate, they're driving down the road, and Clem said, I'm getting hungry here. What do I have to eat? And he pulled one of the bags and put it on his seat. And while he was driving, he reached in. He pulled out a package of potato chips. Hey, good buddy, you want some potato chips? These here are good potato chips. And he opened it up, and Igglypop went, well, he pulled in some air with his nose mouth. He said, ooh, what those? Ooh. And Clem said, these are potato chips. These are the best potato chips going. Here, open up your digester thing there and have a couple. And he took a bunch of potato chips out and threw them into Igglypop's little digester sack. Then he went and digested up. And Igglypop stuck his tentacle down and took a taste. Oh, they were salty. Oh, they were oily. Oh, they tasted like, ooh. Oh, that wasn't really happy. Clem said, oh, doesn't look too good. Here, you need something to drink. He reached into the bag and he pulled out a Coca-Cola. Well, it wasn't a Coca-Cola. It was something like a Mountain Cola, you know, because after all. And he pulled it out and he popped the top and he said, here, you have one of these. And he handed it to Igglypop. But Igglypop had never had a Mountain Cola. And he took his tentacle and he put it in and he took a suck. And it was carbonated and it was kind of astringent and it was had this funny caramel flavor and it was, and it made him want to kind of be sick. And well, Janaka Palalan shouldn't be sick because when they are sick, it's a mess. And he's like going, oh, and Clem goes, oh no, put the window down, out the window. And he put the window down and the air was good and Igglypop felt better. So Clem said, oh, well, I guess I'll have to finish this mountain pop for me. And here, have some water. And he pulled out some water. And then he reached in and pulled out some beef jerky. He said, try one of these here beef jerkies. So he put it into the Janaka Palalan's little digestive pouch. And that worked okay. That tasted a lot better than potato chips. And that was good. So they trucked down the road, went on and on. And while they went, Clem Goodlight talked and talked and talked about everything he did, all the places he'd seen, what this place was, what that place was. And then he got tired of talking. And Igglypop started talking. Igglypop talked and talked and talked. He told all about the history of Janaka Palala. And he told all about his family. He told about his mother and his father and all of his 100 cousins. And he talked all about the star and the system star. And it all was great, except it sounded like... And so Clem thought he was singing, but of course he wasn't singing, he was talking. Well, all this time, the communicobobulator was listening. And the communicobobulator, well, the communicobobulator would wait until you finished, and then it would talk, because that's what it was, what its function was. And then if Igglypop was wearing his headset, then he didn't even have to talk. He could just think at the communicobobulator, and it would talk. But that comes later, because after all, things do come later. And then Igglypop stopped. And the communicobobulator started. And it started telling Clem Goodlight all about a star system he knew nothing about a planet he knew nothing about a planet that was inhabited with billions and billions of creatures he knew nothing about, that had a civilization that was amazing, and he knew nothing about, and about a family and family relations that he knew nothing about. Well, there is one thing I'm going to say about Clem Goodlight. When he doesn't know nothing about, it makes him very interested. And then he was really interested in doubt. Who do I have here? What is this alien? I got to learn some more. So then he thought, well, you know what? I think I'm going to do something. I think I'm going to get off this big road, and I'm going to go off on a side road. We can always get back on it. I'm going to take him through a valley that he's going to really like, because it's a long valley, and it's going to take him all up past Flathead Lake, and we'll take him right up into the forest, and then we can get back on the big road and go to Skedaddle. And so he did. He got off the road. He said, good buddy, I got an idea. Good buddy, I think we need to get a little more sightseeing for you, because this big road is too much. Let's go. Well, also in part, he didn't want to get back to Skedaddle too fast, because he realized he was a lot to think about. He was not only talking to an alien, he was talking to an alien who probably knew a lot more about astrophysics than he did. Just the fact that he knew all about a star system that he had never heard of, he said, we have to talk about this. So he decided to slow down and give Igglypuff some time to take some more pictures with his pixelator, because his pixelator device was kind of crazy. It was good, and it was an intergalactic model, and it was one of the latest models. So he could dial up local wavelengths. Well, and on Earth, it's sunlight, which has got the seven vibrations for the spectrum. But if he was also wanting to look in the night, he had infrared. And he also had ultraviolet, which is just one of the frequencies. He could dial up any frequency. He could get down to gamma rays. He could make it into an X-ray machine and see right through animals. Whoop. And he had other features on it that, well, he could do spectral assessments of stars. And he could, oh, stuff. We won't go there. It's a lot. But he thought he'd take pictures. He said, I know where I can show you some good wildlife. So they got off the road, and they went down a side road that was a lot smaller, a lot more beautiful from that point of view, very pretty, and it gave them time to do some more talking. So they went. Well, Clem Goodlight made one mistake that, well, you don't want to make. He forgot to get more gas when he got off the road. Well, there's one thing that happens when you forget to get more gas when you get off the road. And you know what that is? You run out of gas at some point. And he did. He ran out of gas. Oh, he was running over the hill. He was coming up to the top of a beautiful hill, looking down into the valley, into Flathead Lake, into this beautiful, beautiful countryside. There was a whole vista of a valley in front of him, and mountains everywhere. There were all sorts of animals all around. They'd seen foxes, they'd seen more wolves, they'd seen coyotes, they'd even seen some hedgehogs, they'd seen some prairie dogs, they'd seen eagles up in the sky, they'd seen buzzards, they'd seen more elk, they'd seen more bear, they'd seen deer, they'd seen moose. He Igglypuff couldn't believe it. He said, oh, this world is full of alien creatures. Oh, and he took little pixelated pictures everywhere as much as he could. He took X-rays, he took infrared, he took heat signatures, he took full spectrum signatures. He was filling his pixelator memory chip up as much as he could, because he was having a great time. And then the car went kabut-chabut, kabut-chabut. The truck was going kabut-chabut. And Clem went, come on. And it stopped. And he rolled to the side of the road, pulled over, looked at the gas gauge, and said, Oh no, I've gone and done this again. Well, this was a problem that good old Dr. Goodlight had. He tended not to pay attention to his gauges. You'd think an astrophysicist would pay attention to his gauges, but he was so busy talking. Well, at this point, he talked so much, he talked so long, he had talked for hours, that Igglypuff's communicabobulator was picking up a lot more words and was putting things together. And Igglypuff was able to talk better. Well, then Igglypuff also put on his headset so he didn't have to sing to say, what kind of alien creature is that? He could just think it. And his little headset would pick up the vibrations, and then run it through his communicabobulator, which is what it was designed to do, because that's how you have to communicate in intergalactic world systems. And it came out speaking in English. Well, English with a Janaka Palalan accent. English. And he'd say things like, what kind of alien creature is that? Why does that alien creature have four legs? What is that alien creature doing floating? Is it falling? And Clem Goodlight would explain, oh no, that's an eagle. That's not falling, that's flying. And they talk about it and discuss it. Clem was having a great time, because he was learning a different way of seeing things. Because when Igglypuff would ask a question, he'd ask a question from a Janaka Palalan perspective. You know, well, what's happening? And he watched some wolves chasing a deer, and the deer was running away, and all of a sudden the deer jumped over a stream and took off, and the wolves stopped. And Igglypuff said, what, why alien creature running with alien creature? What's happening? And then Clem Goodlight would say, no, they're looking for food. They want to eat that deer. Igglypuff said, eat? Deer? Eat? Well, it never occurred to him that an alien creature like a wolf would actually use his mouth because, well, he had a nose mouth, but he didn't have teeth, you know, like we do, to eat. Oh, it was alien. It was so different. He couldn't think of anything more different than he'd ever thought of before. Well, they were stuck here. They were at the top of the hill. So Clem said, well, we better as well get out. Nothing good, nothing doing here. The sun was going down. There was no traffic. Nobody coming by. Probably nobody would come by till tomorrow. I said, oh, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I guess we could always pitch the tent. I suppose that'd be good. We could pitch the tent here, the flat spot over there. We could probably hang out till the morning, and I'll hike down to the town down there. It's all, well, it's a ways, but I'll hike down, and I'll get some gas and bring it back up, and we'll get going by tomorrow. And I'm getting hungry, because after all, he'd eaten all of his potato chips. He'd eaten all of the taco chips. He'd eaten all of the ringdings he bought. He'd drunk all of the Coke cans. He had some water. He always had a lot of water, so he had water. But he was running out of everything good, and he had all these fish on ice, but he wasn't about to cook the fish. I mean, oh, no, that's going home. But he said, okay, we can do it. We'll put the tent up. So Iggy Pop climbed out of the truck. Oh, it felt so good to be out of the truck. He stretched. He stood up tall. He took off his Stetson. He put his tentacles up as high as they could go. He was 9 feet tall. Oh, but it was great. And he was on this alien planet. Oh, and there was a star. I could see the star, and it was red, and it was disappearing beyond the trees. Well, that was just like Baba La Baba. That's what Baba La Baba did. He realized, oh, this is the same planet. It's the same planetary system. It's just someplace different. Wow, this is interesting. Well, he, you know, because Iglypop, even though he was, you know, he did have his own space cruiser, he had not traveled around the intergalactic system that much. He'd gone on one or two trips, but they stayed at fancy hotels, you know, and he hadn't gotten around. He'd just gone shopping and gone eating. So this was really, really an adventure because he was outside. Outside, when you never go outside, and they were the only two people there. He had never been alone, and here he was alone with an alien. So they sat down, and Clem said, well, I guess we better make the best of it. And he sat down next to Iglypop. He said, well, Iglypop, I'll tell you what happened. And he started to explain. The truck was out of gas. Iglypop thought, oh, his engine robots have given up. And he looked at Clem, and he said, you engine robots give up too? And Clem said, no, I ran out of gas. Gas? I ran out of gas. Well, the concept of gas was a little bit alien. He could think of it in terms of battery, because he needed some sort of beginning power. But once his space cruiser was going, he just used solar light. And solar light from any star was enough to charge the batteries of the space cruiser for a long time. And when you were in the light channel generated energy, and so the batteries picked that up too. So he didn't quite understand it, but he said, oh, and they sat there. The truck was dead. They were sitting on the back of the truck. They were sharing a drink of water. Clem said, oh, this is all we got. We got water and we got fish. Are you hungry? Iglypop realized he was kind of hungry. So Clem reached in and pulled out a trout. He said, it's cold. Is that okay? Iglypop said, good. He put it in his little digestive pouch, let it digest for a while, and stuck his tentacle in and started, oh, yum, yum. He started singing a little song. Well, he was really saying, I really like this. This place is good. I could live here a long time. And Clem would watch the sun go down, and the stars were coming out, and he looked up and he thought, this alien creature comes from a place I have never seen and can never find, but it's amazing. And here we've just spent a couple days together, and I could really be friends with this guy. And they were just sitting there, it had gotten dark. The trogs were starting to croak. The crickets were out. Iglypop was listening and listening. He put his communicabulator off to see if he could understand them. And it was a nice moment. It was a really nice moment. And then, in the distance, Clem saw two lights. Two lights. There's a car coming this way. There's a car coming this way. Maybe I can get a ride to town and get a ride. I'm talking to give me a ride back. We can get on the road, buddy. We can do it. And so we watched the car, came up the road, still a couple miles away, went down, came up again. You could see it on the hill, went down the hill behind. I think we could do it. Came up the hill. When it was about a mile away, Clem jumped off the truck. And he said, Igglypop, friend. Hey, buddy, put that hat back on. We don't know who this is. So Igglypop took his tentacles. He stuck them under the Stetson and stuffed it on his head. That's the best he could do anyway. And the car came closer. And Clem jumped off. He jumped in the middle of the road. And he started waving his hands up and down, you know, like this, saying, help, help. And the car came putzing along, and Clem looked at it, and it was this battered old Jeep, and it had this flag flapping on the top of it. He looked at it, said, "Oh, who is this guy?" The car came up, and the car saw him, and pulled over to the side of the road, and by golly, on the Jeep was this flag, and the flag said, "Woo Way," and Clem said, "Well, Woo Way. That's Washington Gumption University. Oh, we're in luck. We're in luck, good buddy." And he walked over to the car. He leaned in and said, "Hey, man, we are stuck. I ran out of gas. If I had enough gas just to get 10 miles down the road to the next town, I could fill it up and I'd be on my way. Do you think you can help?" Well, the young guy who was behind the wheel looked up at him and said, "Yeah, sure. I can help you. I have an extra gas can in the back of the Jeep here. I always take some extra gas because I don't like running out of gas." And he climbed out of the car. And he looked at Clem, good light. And Clem said, "Hey, I see this Woo Way flag. You know, did you go to Washington Gumption University?" And the young man said, "Well, I do go to Washington Gumption University. I'm in the PhD program as an ethnojournalist. And my name is Gustav Panier." And he stuck out his hand. And Clem Goodlight said, "Oh, ethnojournalism, huh?" And he took out his hand anyway and shook it. And then Gustav Panier said, "Well, my friends call me Jeepy, but it's okay. So how can I help you, mister?" And Clem said, "Well, I better be polite." So he said, "Well, my name is Clem Goodlight, and I work at the university too. I was heading back there tonight, so it'd be great to get back." He said, "Really? You're at the university? Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear it." He looked Clem up and down, and he figured, this guy must clean the halls. That must be it, or maybe he's one of the janitors. That's it. He must be a janitor in the machine shop. Look at the way he dresses. Look at his truck. And then he saw this big guy standing next to the truck. Big guy. GP looked at him and said, "That's a pretty big guy. I wonder if he's an Indian. I wonder if he's a giant. I wonder what this is." And he walked over, and he walked up to Igglypop, and he looked, stuck out his hand with Igglypop, and said, "How do you do? My name is Gustav Panier." And Igglypop looked at him and went, "Who, what?" And Gustav said, "Gustav Panier, but my friends call me Jeepy." And Igglypop said, "Alien character?" And Jeepy said, "No, I'm not an alien. I'm me. What's this? I'm here." And Igglypop said, "Oh, And then Clem came over and said, "Oh, this is my good buddy Igglypop. And Igglypop doesn't know English too well. He's, you know, he's new here. So, you know, he's Igglypop, but he's a great guy." And Igglypop looked at GP. And then because Igglypop had been brought up to be very polite, Igglypop bent over in this enormously delicate bow. And then he stood up. And he said, which his communicabulator then said, "I am Igglyopteron, Uberopteron, and I am the crown prince of the planet Janakapalala, and I have crashed here, and this good man is going to help me. This," well, he didn't say good man. He said, "This alien creature is going to help me." GP looked at him and scratched his head, and he looked at Clem, and he said, what did he say?" Clem said, "Don't mind him. Don't mind him. He's new here. Now, can you help me with the gas?" And GP said, "Sure." And he walked back to his Jeep, and he pulled out his gas can, and he came over to Clem's truck, and he glugged it in. Clem said, no, that's all. I just need enough to get to town." GP said, "No, I know this place. You think you're going to get to town, but look, it's almost 10 o'clock now, and that gas station isn't open. So unless you want to stay here all night, you're going to have to go another 35 miles to get to the next gas station, and you're going to need the gas. And he collected all of his gas tank. Now, I have to tell you, this is really called generosity and being a good-hearted person, because he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that at all. But old GP was a good guy. He really was. He learned a lot of things in his life, and he learned that people will help when you're in need. Because after all, when his older Jeep was trashed by trolls, he had gotten a lot of help. So he decided, I'm going to help somebody else out. I think this is a good way to live. So he poured his whole gas can in. It was going to take Dr. Goodlight all the way past the town. It could have made it all the way. Oh, it would have made it a long ways. But it was enough. And then Dr. Goodlight said, well, can I pay you for the gas? Can I do anything for you? And GP said, no, I'm happy to help. I just got some gas a little bit ago, and I'm good to go. And I think I can make it back to Skedaddle. I'll see you around Washington Gumption University. And Dr. Goodlight said, well, you too, Mr. Parnier. And what department are you in? He said, oh, I'm in the communication journalism department. And I'm going to be an ethnojournalist. And Dr. Goodlight said, oh, ethnojournalist. And what does that mean? What do you do as an ethnojournalist? And Gustav Parnier said, well, my job is to talk to people who are unique culturally and with complete ethnology and present their point of view and their side of the story, because our culture tends to overwash anybody who isn't like us. And we have to not do that. We have to let all the different peoples who are different and small and unique have their say and be themselves, so that we are all diverse and interdependent. Dr. Goodlight said, I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting thing. Well, very good to meet you, Mr. Parnier, and I hope you have good luck in your studies. And GP said, good. And he walked up and waved to Igglypuff and said, you too, Mr. Uber Operon. I'll see you again. And he drove off. Well, little did Clem or Igglypuff know that GP was going to become a very important character in their story, and that GP was going to do some wonderful things for Igglypuff. But that's further down the road. So then Clem climbed into the truck and said, Igglypuff, my friend, well, I'm in, good buddy. We're headed down the road. And Igglypuff climbed in. He started the engine. Vroom, he took off down the road. And he went 10 miles. The gas station was closed. He went another 35 miles. The gas station was closed. He went another 42 miles. The gas station was closed. Man, oh man, was he happy that GP had poured his entire extra gas tank can into his car, into his truck. Because it was only when they were just to the highway, just to the road, just to the big road, and Clem's truck was bouncing on F, on empty, on E. It was going to E, it was coming back, it was going to E, coming back. Clem was saying, come on, we're going to make it, come on, we're going to make it. And they got right to the gas station, and the truck stopped running. But it was still rolling, and he rolled right up to the gas tank and stopped. And he said, oh, good buddy, we have been taken care of by some kind of guardian angel. Well, at that point, it was the middle of the night. I mean, it was after midnight sometime. Clem was really tired. He just had to get home. So he filled his truck with gas. He went into the shop, and he bought some more yummy stuff to eat, more potato chips and more Mountain Cokes and some more jerky bars. And he said, what can I get for my good friend, Igglypuff? What would Igglypuff like? He looked around. He couldn't see anything that Igglypuff would like. But then he saw in one corner was a corner selling sausages made locally. And he said, okay, I think I'll try some sausages. And he bought some sausages. And he brought them out. Oh, and by the way, there was a couple of hot dogs rolling on a little hot dog thing where, you know, you have hot dogs. He said, oh, maybe I'll take those. And he bought some hot dogs. And he came out, and he got down the road, and he looked at Igglypuff and said, hey, buddy, hungry? Igglypuff at this point knew what hungry meant, and he also knew how to say, yes, I am. So Clem said, here, try some of these. And he tossed a couple hot dogs into his pouch, and his pouch melted those hot dogs down, and he dipped his tentacle in, and oh, man, oh, is that delicious, oh, delicious. So Igglypuff was happy, eating his melted down hot dogs, and Clem was chewing on his potato chips, humming a little song, and they sped down the road, and they came at the beginning of the day. Dawn was coming. It was starting to get light. The sun was coming up, and they crested a hill and scooted into Skidaw. And Clem scooted around the streets, finally got to his house, and he pulled up into his driveway. He stopped the truck. He said, "Well, my friend, here we are. Welcome home." And that is how they made it from the campground to Clem Goodlight's home in Skedaddle. Now, I do have to tell you about Igglypop meeting Clem's a good lady, his wife, and his kids, because he's got a couple of kids, and the dog. Can't worry about the dog. The dog, Maxie, is he's a cool dog. He's a golden retriever, and he's very smart. And I got to tell you about Igglypop talking to him, because Igglypop decides a communicobobulator can talk canine, but that's another story. This is the end of today's story, and I hope you have a wonderful sleep. I hope you enjoy your fireworks tonight. Give your mama and your Donna and your beautiful sister Lauren a hug and a kiss, and I will tell you the next story as soon as I think it up. Love you, sweet William. Good night.